Welcome home. It is almost 4:20. What time is it? 4:12? Something like that? 4:19. All right, 4:19. We're at Coco's. If you're listening out on Radio Land at AM 1570 live, because we're live, like Brent Musburger was live, we're in Lauraville. Rasig is my co-host with a K. I got to get your microphone.
My crab cake place.
I know this about you, but it's not like me to recruit people. But this morning I woke up and Rasig and Luke were gonna do sports this afternoon. Brian Pugh came by and did some brain. But I've done so many like churches, food group, like military, children, pets, just awful stories and great people doing amazing things. And this afternoon just turned into like the sports day of the week, right? And I hit John Rollo this morning. I think he's coming tomorrow because he's bitching about Harbaugh. And Ron Cassie's like our defending champion around here from Baltimore Magazine. And I reached you like at breakfast time, and I'm like, Rasig's coming out. I probably should invite you. Even if you don't come, it's cool, you know. Either way, and if you did come on your bike, I was going to give you a lottery ticket. 10 times the cash from the Maryland Lottery, our sponsor. You get that. Rasig, I didn't give you one.
You gave me one. Yes, you gave me one.
Well,
I have one.
She's a good sport. There you go. Get Terry up here. I'll give her one.
All right.
How are you? I mean, you're doing a lot of sports, and I think when I left Luke and Rasig about 30 minutes ago, this, I don't say a renaissance of sports here, but the relevance of sports even since August, we got together what the Ravens accomplished and what they didn't accomplish, and now all of this incredible news that's still like, you'd have told me in August that when you met him and you have your friends, and we talked about the Orioles or the Ravens going to win the World Series, that we would be sitting here on Crab Cake Row, doing a cup of Super Bowl, that the Ravens wouldn't be in the Super Bowl, that the NFL would have come in the back door, or Harbaugh take all his coaches out. You know, they're about to have a bloodletting on free agents. I mean, they're going to be a diminished team to some degree. And the Orioles are here, courtesy of Rasig's hat and the home team sports hat that we had
and
earlier.
And Ron's hat,
to save the day. They're here to save the day, Ron Cassie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mentioned this to Rasig off the air as soon as I got here.
This is why I don't green room. We do shouldn't let you together.
Right. Yes. We're doing an April Orioles preview, which I'm actually working on now because this is where we're at in our cycle. And I had a one-on-one with Elias scheduled for Monday, this Monday.
One more than I've this had, by the way. But he's been very nice to me. He's been very nice to me. Yeah.
Right. I mean, what day are we at? Wednesday? So 2 days ago, we had a one-on-one at Camden Yards. We did a photo shoot with him out on out in the field. And he and I sat down for actually like 45 minutes in the clubhouse auxiliary room. And it's like the timing, you know, we've had this in the works actually since the playoffs last year is when I pitched this story idea. We wanted to talk to Michael Elias about the rebuild and the success of that. And then, boom, all of a sudden, you know, the team's sold and all of a sudden they've got a number one starter. And I was joking with people texting them that right now the Orioles are like the biggest story after Taylor Swift in all of sports. Like this is
almost.
Great point.
And on
yeah.
Tuesday, she goes away. She goes back to Japan and they'll either have a parade, no kissy poo, or it'll be bad times and Santa Clara will be having a good time. You know what I would have given you on this if I would have known you were meeting with Elias? Because I was very snippy about. Look, I'm pissed off about all this. I'm pissed off that I'm here right now. I'm making the most of it, but I should be in Las Vegas doing my 29th radio row. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
But all of that being said,
absolutely.
Last week, DaCosta had his thing with one time he makes himself really available other than the draft time to talk to the media. I put out on the line, I'm like, somebody should ask him about his role in getting Mike Elias and Sig Madel hired. That's a fact. I promise you, as a journalist, as a man of faith and good word who's never lied, Eric DaCosta befriended Mike Elias, but more so Sig Meidel, because Eric was trying to – he loves baseball. Eric loves baseball. And he was trying – did you write the piece on Eric last year?
No.
No, you didn't write I read that recently. It was like the August or September edition.
Yeah, Corey McLaughlin usually does the football stuff
there,
for us.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't know if that was your inked piece or not. But Eric befriended Sig Meidel trying to learn analytics because he saw what the Yankees were doing. He saw what the Astro Ball, like all of that.
Right.
So Eric said, we're not as sophisticated in the NFL as we need to be. Baseball, money ball, all that caught up. And Eric wanted to be on the front end of analytics, which is why he hired the guy from Johns Hopkins that didn't work out. You remember that? They made a big splash that they were getting into that space. That was Eric all along. Steve loved it, all of that. But he befriended it because he was trying to understand the science of baseball statistics. And Eric said to me 18 months before Mike Elias and Sig Meidel We were on a plane together flying somewhere. Eric and I were very close. Your letter's coming, bro. Trust me. It's coming. It's coming. He said to me that I should Google Sig Meidahl and Mike Elias. He's like, yeah, they're like with the Astros, and they're like on the cutting edge of like, and I'm trying to figure out what the cutting edge is going to be in football. Right. And then Eric admitted to me, he said, hey, I had lunch with John Angelos, and he's looking, he's picking my brain about, and I told him Mike Elias, and said, 3 months later, they were hired. That's a fact, and the team websites will write it up one day when it's all tidy. And
sure.
You know what I mean? And all that. But
that's an interesting story.
True.
An origin story.
I might be able to follow up and ask that question.
Well, they're both on the edge. I mean, Eric came this close from being in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Orioles had their 101 wins. But,
yeah.
I mean, that is a prelude to Corbin Burnes and to Rubenstein. What have you learned on Rubenstein? I mean, Ron Cassie's here, by the way. We're 6 years. We're at Coco's. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think anybody knows too much about Rubenstein. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting, maybe hasn't been talked about so much, and is Rubenstein is, 74 years old? And I think Mike Bloomberg's an investor. You know, I'm thinking of, like, Baltimore-Hopkins connection guys. He's, like, 80. And the other guys are younger from New York. And, of course, you have Cal and Grant Hill with some Baltimore connections. But
Arrighetti. Michael Arrighetti, right?
Right. Yes. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
No, nothing about it.
But these are big money New York finance guys, right? And I wonder if they're going to do something like the Fenway Group, where this is their first purchase. The Fenway Group owns not just the Red Sox, but they own the Liverpool Football Club in the English Premier League. They own the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right.
They're a whole – and Theo Epstein just went back to the Fenway Group. And this is – and he's only like 51 years old.
Is John Henry still running that?
I don't know.
He was the originator, though. It was his money originally, right? The Fenway Group, right?
I'm not sure of the history. I was just looking at how much they own and the diverse properties kind of that they're in charge of and wondering if the interest – and Eric, the guy you mentioned, if the Orioles are going to be, with that development around Camden Yards, if this is going to be a springboard to other things, right? The one woman who's in the group already runs the soccer team, right? The woman's soccer team.
I believe that's correct.
Right?
I mean, but Grant Hill's in this deal, okay? Cal Ripken's in the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought names in.
Kurt Schmoke.
I love that.
There's definitely real Baltimore people involved, but I'm just thinking when you see a Mike Bloomberg and you see a Rubenstein involved, I don't know that they're the old school owner who just like, oh, it'll be fun to go to the old Camden Yards and watch a ball game. I don't know that that's just where these guys' interest cuts off. This is a $1.75 billion deal, and these franchises and these stadiums and venues are not the old cigar-chomping kind of owners in the box. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what this ownership group does going forward.
Well, you'd
today.
Like to think they'd be more like the Red Sox than the Cubs over the course of time.
Yes.
When you say corporately run, that it's run that way, right? But the first splash is, as a media member, as a fan, as a very disgruntled civic stakeholder in the baseball team for all of my lifetime, it took me 48 hours, dude. Like, at Tuesday night, I was shell-shocked. Wednesday, I thought it through. Thursday night, my wife went to yoga, and I was home alone and did some deep thinking.
Yes.
And I just had this, Stanley Roper smile of, I'm going to be able to root for them again and go back, and I can stop all the bitching. It's all over with. And I went out on Saturday with my wife. I told the story to her sick. We went to Drug City, and I had asked Wendy Bronfine from Curio Wellness if there was a champagne of cannabis. Because she was my guest the next morning. I'm like, is there a champagne? I need a champagne, but I don't like champagne because it gives me a hangover. So we joked about it, but then I got to the liquor store, and I'm like, you know what? I like red wine, and I'm going to buy one $60 bottle of red wine in my life, and I found the perfect one. It's called The Prisoner. And on the night when Rubenstein gets the team, I'm going to let The Prisoner out.
There you go.
Perfect.
Right.
But, I mean,
perfect
it does. Price. It feels very Fidel Castro to me. It feels very like – I never saw the end, that there could be an end. I said to Luke, first thing I said to Luke when he sat down before you were even here 3 hours ago, I'm like, I love you. We've been together a long time. We drink together. We go to school. Have I ever said to you, one day, I'll come. One day, they won't be there. Because I never, I thought that they were teeth in, that this kid wasn't the putz that he turned out to be. That they were going to dig in and just say, it's our team. We're not selling it. And that's that, you know?
With the lawsuits that were filed. Right, about the mother and the who won't, right? I mean, things looked like at that point the team was going to be sold at some point, right? Like they were going to have to divide up the resources at that point. And I think these talks with Rubenstein apparently been in the works like 3 years. So I'm not surprised that they moved out. I mean, I think, you know, what's come out is they kept all this and were not truthful with Wes Moore and Derek Davies and the head of the Maryland Stadium Authority.
And Brooke Learman.
And not in negotiating this in good faith, which...
not shocking, as Brooke said.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's one more reason really just to, you know, celebrate in the city this purchase. And I know it means a lot to you personally.
It means a lot. It means every... I mean, I've fought from the beginning, and I have this moment where, like, I'm going to walk in that press box and have a hot dog with Luke. And... I didn't say this to you guys. And, Rasig, I've known you since 1984. I've known you a long time. I said this to my wife the second night. Wednesday night we had dinner together, and we were just sitting and talking. And I said, I've thought about this. I can't remember. I don't have a memory of the last time I walked in there and people were nice to me. I mean that, like, I mean that from my heart. And I don't mean because of Free the Birds. Free the Birds happened because they weren't nice to me. It was a reaction of, you need to clean this up. You need to be better people. You need to stop lying to people, mistreating people. You need Cal Ripken here. You need Brooks Robinson. I mean, here. You need him here and vested in care, and they can't because they don't trust you, and I don't trust you. And they screwed me on $30,000. You can Google, you've known about that for 20 years. So this is what this is how they treated the people that love them. And really when the Albert Bell thing happened, but there was a level of arrogance in like 95, 96, 97 because they were winning and Davey Johnson and he was in the news every day and I wrote the Peter Principles. But once 98 hit, I mean, so it's been 26 years since I've ever been around there where I thought there was anything that felt like competency, love, pride. It was all punishment. Well,
you're talking at the ownership level.
No? I'm talking about the players. I'm talking about the way PR told the players when John Maroon left. Like, that Aubrey Huff would call our city a shithole, right?
Right.
And come back an opening day and doff his cap. That was 2004 or 2005. Right. I mean, it was a long time ago. And that stuff was tolerated in a place... Where Cal Ripken was,
say my experience the last couple of years, and this is several years now covering the Orioles and writing the Orioles preview and covering the playoffs last year and stuff, is the communications folks that I work with are terrific.
They're all new. Just, they don't know me.
They've been fabulous to work with. I mean, really helpful, really, really terrific. I can't say enough good things about the communications staff at the Orioles that I work with. I mean, really... friendly, professional, on top of it. Getting a sit-down interview with Mike Elias, the photograph on the field, and this really busy time, right? All this breaking news.
Yep.
And was really terrific.
I'm glad
and
the they
same
do
thing,
that.
Same
I'm
thing
good to
covering,
hear that.
Same thing getting, we got not one, but we got two press passes. And Baltimore Magazine does not cover the Orioles the way the Sun or the Banner doing the Daily Mail, but we got.
Or the way Baltimore Positive and WST.
Right, but we got two press passes to all the home playoff games last year, which was fantastic. And
I got two passes in Arlington. I sat at the kids' table. They threatened my employee to pull his club. This is really you're a journalist. Just, this is really what happened.
It happened
in front of everybody.
I'm just saying. Like, I just wanted.
I got text threads with John Blake in Major League Baseball and John Blundell, who runs Major League Baseball, and Pat Courtney, who's the right hand man of Roger Goodell, who I've known for 30 years, who went to college with one of my listeners, Pat, out in Woodlawn. I'm just telling you, forget what I just said. I feel like they might be nice to me. Like the new people.
I
don't know what it's like walk in there anyone of any kind, Matt Trier, people that were at my wedding had to mistreat me. People had to unlink me and pretend they didn't know me to keep their jobs.
Well, hopefully you get back in
Kevin Brown.
Hopefully you get back in the ballpark and you meet these folks.
Well,
they're the kind of people like text me when you get here and stuff like that.
I
really friendly.
I never thought that would be I gave up. And that's what I mean about Fidel Castro. I
mean,
gave
the clubhouse.
Up.
Like, I did do some stories when Cal and BJ Serhoff and Rafael Palmeira and those guys were there. And, you know, they were superstars, and they did not have the personality of, like, the 2004 Red Sox, right? Those guys, right? There was those were the no facial hair Oriole days and stuff
right.
like that. These guys, Austin Hayes and Adley and Cedric Mullins, these guys are super approachable, super easy to talk to, really down to earth.
It feels that way.
They show
well on post-game things I think I'd like to meet that kid.
And
seems
I'm like
a
newcomer. But, you know, I don't there all the time, like in the clubhouse and even the guys they sign, you know, the Kyle Gibsons are really down to earth.
I guess my point is I wanted to be there at, Will Siegel tell you, I had a pass for 21 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there for 21 years every day. I was there 6 days a week.
The timing is good for this. It's a great clubhouse, and it's a great communications team right now is great. So hopefully none of that stuff changes. And Mike Elias was very generous with his time, very forthcoming. I mean, he'll tell you what he's not going to talk about up front. And I'm, like, fine with that as a journalist. You say, I'm not going to talk about that. He's not an elected official. The things he will talk about, he shares anecdotes with you. He doesn't, you know, he's direct. He's funny. You're in a real conversation.
I got to ask him a question. I got invited by Leonard Raskin. Elias spoke in April, and it was early. It was 10 days. It was April 15th. It's like that. He spoke to the Baltimore CEO Club. Up at the golf course in Hunt Valley in Shawan. That's Wood Homes in Pikesville. I'm not a golfer, but it's the one that's at York and Shawan at 83. You can hit a golf ball on the 83 from the west side of Shawan. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
But he was there, and it was a little bit of an older crowd. It was a baseball crowd. It was at a country club, but it wasn't a country club. But it was $100. You know, it was a serious luncheon. It was delicious, and there were maybe 60 or 70 people there. You know, there weren't 100, and I sat in the front table because Leonard's a big shot and had tickets and invited me. He thought it would be funny for me to see me. So I actually took him a copy of Purple Rain 2, and I handed it to him, and he's like, what's this about? And I'm like, this is a championship in Baltimore from your friend Eric DaCosta. I just want you to have it. I want you to be inspired the fact that you can build a championship too. And at the time, the issue from the fans were yelling about the outfielder, Stoughton, right? Right? Is that his name? The kid, Kyle?
Stowers.
I didn't even his name. He didn't even play the team.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was pissed that he was back in North. Like, this was April 15th, right? And there was, you know, maybe we'll be 500 this year, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how nobody expected 101 wins. But I asked him a question, and he was very magnanimous, and he gave me his email address, and he actually wrote me a thank you. He wrote me a thank you for the book, and he was charming, and he was being someone in the room. He's just talking. And I don't think he even knew who I was, or like that I was that guy or whatever. It was a beautiful afternoon, and he seemed like the guy I want running my baseball team, and seemed like a guy I want to spend money and support, and a guy I want on my show because he's intelligent, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
he did treat me well, so I mean, I'll take that back. I was treated well by him.
Caravan things, and Brandon Hyde was very relaxed, approachable. I mean, you think, going back to kind of the Hargrove years, and Cal's a super, super nice guy, but he's... You know, he was a little quieter sometimes, a little more formal, that B.J. Serhoff era, I felt like. These guys are really, you feel like you're covering a high school or college team. They're that easy to talk to. They're that down to earth like that. And maybe it's because they are all just coming up. I mean, that maybe...
They're not polluted yet.
Yes,
Roger Dorn's not in there to mix it up. We got Corbin Burns.
Good reference.
Corbin Burns
now,
right?
Good reference.
We're six here. Ron Cassie's here. We're talking sports, believe it or not. We're Coco's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Food Bank or for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. It is a cup of soup or bowl. Cassie, you're a Jersey guy. You transplant. You eat crab soup, right?
Yeah.
You eat cream or Maryland?
No, Maryland. I'm a little overshare here. I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, so,
so
you're out. Okay.
I'm out, but I love spicy Maryland crab soup. Like,
all right,
just
well,
the best,
I was going to ask if you were a 50-50 guy, but if you're lactose intolerant, it eliminates you.
Right.
It's like these people that are shellfish intolerant. I can't have a crab cake with me.
To me, crab soup is the tomato base, the Old Bay spicy. That's crab soup to me.
Well, she puts okra in here, and
the other
I love
things
it.
Like clam chowder, kind of like New Englandish. Or
first
something.
Thing I bit into when I did a little half and half was a piece of okra, and I'm like, Yes,
that's he was excited on the air for that.
Dirty South reference.
Yeah,
he was excited on the air for the okra.
Yes. In real time.
Very, yes.
In regard to, and we'll stay with the Orioles for a minute and then we'll do a little Ravens as well, but the city and the 162 games and 81 games at home and the harbor and that whole area, you mentioned that Fenway, that vision. I keep saying, and I'm all respect to you, but 2 years ago you came on the show and you had a vision for the harbor. We talked about, Dom was with us, we were talking about visions for the harbor place. I don't know what the vision is for the baseball and football facility other than, and I've said this, and I'm not being a jerk, I'm not being flippant, and it's not even about the ownership or the media or any of that. They've had trouble down there getting people there for crime, this, Fox 45, the Sun getting bought, all that. What's the big idea? Because the big idea is 101 wins. They've done that. If the big idea is Cal Ripken, we had. The big idea is Camden Yards. There it is. If the big idea is Lamar, and we're going to win 14 games. They've done all of that, and they've had empty seats. And Luke is talking about ripping 8,000 seats out of the stadium. I think Bisciotti and his people, and I don't say him. I don't know how involved he was, but they're building gold-plated toilets down there, right, with their $600 million. I mean, they don't have an idea. They're going to build a nightclub. Great. And they're going to charge a premium. And the snarky guy got up at the press conference that I wasn't invited to and said, the beer is colder and the hot dogs are better, or tastier inside the perimeter. And I'm thinking, the Orioles aren't going to be building the perimeter. The Orioles are going to be building something that everybody's going to want to come to, not an exclusive kind of thing. Right. But what they do with that $600 million is important.
Right, a couple quick things. Is one, attendance didn't plummet until the Orioles lost 115 games or whatever it was. Up until even through like 2014, 2015, they were drawing people. The idea that people aren't coming to Baltimore to watch the Orioles because of crime is just not borne out by any of the numbers. CFG Bank Arena, which we talked about on the show, it's going to have like 1 million people they're going to draw this year, right? Like a 40% like increase. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there's a lot
that includes me seven times this year, right? I've been right. There.
I mean,
right?
My opening day, I went from the Orioles to see Bruce Springsteen. I walked. I mean, there's a lot of.
I saw the Eagles. I saw Queen. I saw John Mayer. Yeah, I can go down the list, right?
There's a lot of Janet Jackson. There's a lot of synergy that's happening, and you know, whatever the Harbor Place final plans look like, there's going to be high-rise residential mixed use there. It's going to bring more foot traffic, of course. But so the train station at Camden Yards, right, used to be Legends, Steve Jeppy's museum and everything.
Right.
That's going to become some type of mixed use, condo. Something is going to happen there. Right? That's empty for all intents and purposes. And Camden Yards warehouse, the massive warehouse, is basically largely empty, right? So those are really two easy parcels to fix up. And they are going to move. They're going to do something with the wall. I mean, I did talk about this a little bit with Mike Elias. You know, that was kind of a quick, okay, just shove it the wall back, raise it up, and
get some pitching.
Get some pitching. And attract some pitching. And it did turn out
you
that.
You know any conversations I had personally with Mike Messina in 1997, 8, 9, right. Like about whether he was going to. And him staying had nothing to do with the wall, although it was an impediment. It was all Peter. You know what
well,
I mean? But the wall was like, if I stay here, you have to pay me more because my ER is going to be 5.
Well, here's what Elias said is that, you know, you're going to go for a Corbin Burns. Well, he's in his free agent years, walk year. He's not coming to Camden Yards in the other wall and giving up, you know, a record number of home
38
runs.
38 home runs, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes. He's going to come here now. I mean, now it's attractive. He's got a free agent year coming up.
He might stay.
Well, he might stay with Ruben Stein's money, but either way,
give us a hometown discount, Ron.
His numbers are going to be better with the wall back 30 feet. His numbers are going to be a hell of a lot better. So that is attractive now to getting guys like him. And then coincidentally, oh, by the way, we had drafted Gunnar Henderson, who's a lefty. We have Jackson Holliday, who's a lefty slugger. We have Colton Cowser, who's a lefty slugger. We got Adley, who's a switcher. We got Anthony Santander. We got Cedric Mullins. All of a sudden, we have all these left-handed guys in a lineup, and we can attract free agent pitchers. And we have a young athletic team, too, so it plays into that, the bigger ballpark. But there, I mean, you'd have to really be like a civil, a real architect, urban designer, and go up to 30,000 feet and look at that space and see what possibilities are there, you know, where the Brooks Robinson statue is and Pickles and Russell Street.
Right.
There's a lot of empty, weird space there that's not being really utilized to the fullest extent. I think the warehouse and the train station are going to be the first things. But downtown, right, if there's one neighborhood in Baltimore that's growing, it's downtown. That's where population is moving. And a lot of those old offices are being converted to condos because people are remote working.
Now, I was in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and cities just, this is what's going to happen to these structures. They're not going to be places people go to work.
No, they're going to be places they live. They're already doing that around the Bromo Seltzer, around downtown, around CFG Bank. Like, that's already happening. So, you know, we see all the development around, like, Fells Point and stuff like that that's going on. You know, Baltimore's population, you're getting more younger people. They might not have families. They might not stay long or for decades or their whole life, and their grandchildren might not live. But you are getting younger people moving back to cities and in the kind of live-work environment. And
yeah, guys like you with bikes and bike lanes, right?
You know, I've got to give a shout-out. You know, it was an easy bike ride here from Fells Point, just right up to Lake Clifton. There's bike lanes all the way here. Beautiful ride.
Is there trash in the bike lanes? Because I saw that on Argonne. It pissed me off a little bit. I thought of you driving on Argonne down here. Like, it was like, it like literally there was crap in, and I thought, you build these bike lanes, now we're going to screw them up. And how can you even navigate?
There's
a lot of people in my hood that don't like the bike lanes, but I love Ryan Dorsey for doing the bike. You know, Ryan Dorsey's my guy. I don't know if you're...
Right, he's responsible for it. Yeah, I mean, he develops for the bike. I mean, this is how all cities are developing all around the world. Listen, when Baltimore had 1 million people, people were not driving their cars. They were taking the trolley. They were taking the bus.
Road.
They were walking.
Yeah.
That's how people got around. Cities aren't built the size of Baltimore to have 1 million people and everybody have their own car. We don't have the room.
Dude, I put my car up on a sixth floor for 20 years, and I walked everywhere there was to walk, because why would I take my car to Fells Point, right? Like, why would I do that?
That's
and
right.
If I was going to get cranked up or the weather's bad, you get a cab, or and later you get an Uber, you know?
Invest
a little bit of money in that. I don't think I took 10 cab rides a year the first 10 years, and I don't think I took 10 Uber rides a year after that.
So with the Penn Station getting overhauled and the Excel platform already opened up with the Howard Street Tunnel work in West Baltimore.
Morgan's getting a bunch of money,
Morgan's getting a ton of money. Yeah, we mentioned that. You know, a ton of money.
We didn't mention that on the air. We mentioned that off the air.
I mean, one of the
I'm done green rooming you. You come in here and you start talking, and then the next thing I know, you think you said things that you didn't say.
Well, there's a lot of great things happening. We know the homicide rate, thank God, has took an incredible drop this past year, thank God.
And, who gets credit for that? I want everybody to get credit because everybody got blamed for it, right?
Well, you know, it's really hard to parse those things out. I mean, there's other cities around the country who experience similar rise and falls. And I think sometimes we in Baltimore, we're so insular, we think these things are just related to us. But, you know, we suffer the ups and downs of national trends. I think it was unsustainable where we were before.
Unrest and the plague is a very, very special concoction.
Very special concoction. Thankfully,
and poor leadership. And the mayor's going to jail.
The fallout from that is receding, right? Leadership. And I do think the holistic approach of Brandon Hine and Monsey and Shantae Jackson and that they're doing is the only way to go.
Ron Cassie's here. What do I call you? Editor, writer, senior, something? What is your
He's
real title?
He's the man.
Senior.
The man. That's good.
Senior editor is my title. Mike Sig is the man. Your Facebook page is just hysterical. The cartoons every day.
He's a talented dude, right?
He's a talented dude, man. Really talented.
You know, I said to him earlier,
I can barely type. I just want to end these.
Right.
Great artist.
Nobody is more bullish on this Rubenstein thing than I am. Is it Rubenstein or Stein? I think it's Stein. I think it is. I'm not sure. I want to get it right.
Right.
I think it's Stein, but I'm not sure. I want
Thankfully,
to be respectful.
As a print journalist, I don't normally have to worry about the pronunciation.
That's a good point. You don't
have... I have a little bit of insight, just the smallest amount of insight. So a man named Howard Goldstein or Stein, not sure either, approached me last year to do a cartoon about... who was the manager of the Giants that just got... Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler, okay.
Yeah, Gabe Kapler. The exhibit he was doing was of Jewish sports, so he's got art.
Okay.
So he has a painting of Sandy Koufax.
Hank Greenberg.
He has a Hank Greenberg.
Sure.
And he asked me to do a Gabe Kapler, and I said, I don't know that much about Gabe Kapler. He goes, I'll send you all the info. Well, the guy, it turns out that the guy is like a, he's an incredible guy. You have to read up on him.
I interviewed him when he was a player back in the day. Okay. And I found the tape of it one day and listened to it. And he was really hard. I think he'd struck out a couple times the day before. He's like, I sucked. And it was really funny. Yeah.
He seems like a guy.
But I never really knew him or met him.
Well,
you know?
Off the air sometime, I'll tell you about this guy. He's just, I was just drawn into drawing this cartoon about him because he was such an interesting dude. Anyway, he had just received my cartoon that I did from him and really loved it and wrote back to me about the Orioles, who he follows, and about Rubenstein. And he knows Rubenstein, and he did say, this is a great guy. This is a I'm excited for Oriole fans for this.
I grew up in, his father was a mailman in the city, right? I mean, he grew up in Baltimore. He went to City College. He went to I think he was like a class ahead of Kurt Schmoke.
He had to have been a 66 Orioles fan, so I feel like I may have an in there.
You know, you go.
At least there's that. Now, I was saying to Rasig when Luke was here that, you know, Rasig's brilliant, like a sports cartoonist, and he had all these little quips and cheap shots and funny little things he would do that he could get away with, and people would buy the paper, buy the publication, to your point, to see his art. And I said to him, you've had the two filthiest, dirtiest prick owners ever. Ursay and Angelos. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this has been his career here. He's had one or the other to parody.
As I said, it was gold.
What's
was
the Chinese proverb? May you live in interesting times?
Right. I'm telling you, man, it was cartoonist gold. That's all
Dude,
I'll say.
What are you doing in your magazine on his dummies?
Oh, yeah. So we did a story for the March issue, which will actually hit newsstands in about 2 weeks. We did a little piece, the back page of the magazine, on the paper mache, like kind of like larger than life. I don't know what we call it. It's not a doll mannequin.
It's a,
paper
it's a dummy. I called it a dummy. And I had a sign that said
the real dummy
in the owner's
box. We used that term in the story. And we have a photo of you with the Ursay dummy in Veterans Stadium.
Yes.
It was the first time the Colts had come back. It's just...
Right.
I mean,
you
we
know the dummy still exists, right?
I went to see it at Nacho Mama.
Yeah, he went to Nacho Mama.
I sent you over there, right?
I had to go see it. Yeah, yeah.
He sent me photos of
him. I'm a journalist,
he died.
Yeah, I got a picture on my phone. I showed it.
Did you find the beanie? The little beanie?
No.
The beanie's at the back
bar.
He made a beanie bob. You never seen a beanie bob?
I think you're gonna pee yourself.
If I show you the picture with Don Shula, you're gonna freak. Because I put it in front of Don Shula when we were doing a show with him, and there's the beanie bob. I'm gonna show it to the audience here too. Yeah, there's Don Shula with Beanie Bob. So there it is right there. And he's got dollar bills hanging out of his pocket. And, yeah. It's like hilarious, right?
And Shula used to play for the Colts. Played for the Colts under Carol Rosenblum, right?
And he was the coach.
And coach.
He was the coach.
Left for Miami about the time they bought the team, right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. I mean, this Beanie Bob is at the back bar.
Oh, my God.
At Nacho Mama's. You go all the way to the back
now
to the right.
So he's like this
I got to go back.
He's like, the Beanie Bob is like this big.
Held up by a bottle of vodka.
Oh, man. That is good.
Woo!
Yes.
And with that, we shall depart. Mars, do we need to say anything before we leave? Because I'm going to sign off because my back hurts and I got to go. I got to get up and I got to be at State Fair early in the morning. I am 24 hours into the marathon. I've done 24 hours of radio since 9 a.m. on Monday morning. I've done 24 hours live radio. And I've only cried.
I know, me too.
Five and a half times. I'm taking a tuna stack to go. I'm going to make a margarita when I get home. I'm going to do it up.
All right, there you go.
I'm going to ice down my back.
Good. Sounds good.
I love Mars. I love you. You know what? I don't have a... Give her the mic, Rasig, so she can say goodnight.
Oh,
there
of
you
course.
Go. Come on over and say goodnight to everybody. Rasig out. You know Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine? Here, let me hold up. I'll do a pull of Don Moeller. Where's the little card here? I got to get the little subscription card. Does it fall out, or is it not in there?
I don't know. I think maybe I took it out.
Oh,
this is one from
my
house.
Tell everybody how to subscribe. Yeah. Come on.
Well, you go to the website
here
and subscribe. Come on. There's always deals.
Baltimore Mag. Come on.
Just show the cover.
Wes.
There you go.
He wrote to me last week. He's coming on the show.
Oh, great.
Soon. He says. We'll
see. He's fun. He's a personable
guy. I voted for Wes. I support him. I campaigned for Wes. I've had Wes. I'm a Wes guy.
We dive into some of the policy issues and the budget issues and transportation woes.
Can I have this?
That's mine, man. That's the only one I got.
We subscribe. I get it at home. It's just going to take me a week.
I was going to say, I have one at home.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Mars, what do you want to say about today? Thank you. I love you. Appreciate you. You're
so
coming off vacation,
awesome.
And your people have been coming all day. It's been fun.
Yes, it has been, and it's for a great cause. And I noticed that earlier that you said that your dad grew up hungry, and my mom grew up hungry. My mom was a foster child. Grew up very poor, and she has the biggest heart of anybody in the whole wide world,
and a work ethic that even marvels, like rivals yours.
And
like literally,
she taught me everything I know, and to be kind to people, and mostly to feed people.
Only nice people are allowed
here.
Only
nice people, though.
It says right on the door, yeah, so you got to check yourself when you walk in here.
My mom always just, you know, she would give anything to anybody. She had a big, big heart.
Well,
she still has a big, big heart.
That's good to hear.
Look, all these crab cake people compete. I just want you to know, he could have come across as he loves you. So, and by the way, you know
nice.
Who orders crab cakes from you that I found out, and I could read the text off. Marvin Lewis and I are real close. Like,
he orders crab cakes from us.
That's what he told me.
Yeah,
that's what he told me. You know, he literally said, he texted me 2 weeks ago. He did the show, but we're. I love Marvin. He's a special man.
Well, and Dave Petromala used to send them to him.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And
Belichick must have ordered them, too.
And to Belichick. He sent them to both of them. And so then Marvin liked them, and he started ordering.
There you go. Well,
so, yeah,
I love Marvin.
I know they're the mayor's favorite crab cakes.
They're
that's correct.
Family.
We know
yep.
that. We
absolutely.
Know that. Yeah.
I don't pick favorites, but hers are really good. But I always say this to you, and you know this, the coconut shrimp, and I would sleep. And you, this tuna stack thing, you're really trying to... You're trying to get that to me. That looked
great.
Well,
because every Wednesday you see the special and you're like, oh my God, I'm not there. I can't get it.
Is that the special?
On Facebook, it's the special tonight. So I figured that's why you did a Wednesday day here.
My mama told me I was special.
You wanted to get the special.
All right. Well, your mother told me I was special, too. We've known each other 32 years. We met at the Emerald Tavern, back when the Emerald Tavern was
running. I thought you were going to say second grade.
No. We met at the Emerald. We met at a bar. We met at the Emerald Tavern. She and her mother used to sit on the far side of the bar every Sunday, watch football. I had my Oilers helmet on, right, because we didn't have the Colts. 92, 93, 94, early Nasty Nester. Before I wasn't really Nasty Nester until about 94. Well, I was in 93. His kids named me Nasty Nester, by the way.
Oh,
I had to
okay.
babysit them. It's a long story.
Really?
It's true. Yep.
I thought it was because you were, like,
no,
risque.
No.
I
sent his kids the
DJ.
Better.
He was mean to his six kids as the babysitter. That's why I
babysat
it.
His kids one night, sent them to bed early. And they started, instead of Uncle Nester, they called me Nasty Nester.
That is too
and
funny.
And that's exactly how it
I
happened.
I would have never
that's
guessed that's
truth.
How you got your name.
His kids. So,
wow.
You know,
that
absolutely
very
true.
Cool.
So, you know, I know you guys all compete, but he loves you, and he's here. And
hey, this is, by the way, is a great place to catch an Orioles game and have a crab cake.
It is. You know, we're not a sports bar, and it's kind of ironic that Nester has a sports show, and we're one of his sponsors, and we're not even a sports place. Because we're not open, you know, on Sundays and Mondays. But it still works out, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Well, so we met at the Emerald Tavern, and our friend Harvey, who owned it, died since the last time we saw each other. And Harvey loved to throw these parties. You should read my eulogy for Harvey, because it was a writing piece for me. But he used to lock the doors on Sunday night, illicitly, of course, and he'd have a potty party. So everybody would drink free beer until somebody had to pee.
Everyone would yell at him, like, not let him go to the bathroom.
Oh, it was a scene, dude. But he loved the YMCA. The song,
that's funny
the YMCA.
And cruel at the same time.
And he would lead a conga line out the door, one door, and they would come in the side door at the Emerald Tavern. I was the Dallas DJ, and I would play the YMCA. So today, when I was looking for, you know, I collect my Pacifica belt buckles. I wore my Village People belt buckle, and then the craziest thing happened at 11 o'clock this morning, because I'm punch drunk from doing this crazy marathon. John Hoey from The Y was my guest at 11 a.m. this morning, literally. And I introduced him. He sat down and I said, I got John Hoey from The Y. And I remembered, like, oh, my God, I wore the Village People YMCA belt buckle. And the YMCA, the Y president is here. And we had to go with that. So, Harvey, we love you. I know you're listening up there, and you're happy the Orioles are under new management. As I say, Cassie, the new and improved Orioles, you know, under new management.
Yeah, we hope.
Corbin
yeah,
Burns, yeah. baby. Mars, thank you. I appreciate you.
All right.
She's
thank
doing this
you.
For St. Francis of Assisi. That's a church and a school down
nice.
The street.
Right down
this
the
is
street,
where yeah. Versig's kids learned to nickname me Nasty Nestor. And Versig taught. That's why the kids turned out good in the neighborhood. St. Francis of Assisi, he taught art down there. So
yeah, thank you to everyone that came out today that donated cash or brought non-perishable food items.
And you didn't get a lottery ticket, so you got to get one.
You know
one.
What? I got one, but I'm going to take this one because this is for my mom. I'm going to go see her tomorrow.
All right, mom's getting a lottery ticket. She deserves
she
one.
She loves scratch-offs.
This is the first place where I defamed or desecrated the bar. Bar manager said, every time you're in here, we get the little silver shavings all over the bar. I got to give John Martin a hard time about that because I always ask him, what am I supposed, what's the official thing that you're supposed to use to scratch it? And he would say, just use your MD Lottery app and just shoot it and then you'll know. You don't have to scratch it off.
Right.
So
well,
know.
That's what my mom does now. Like she doesn't even do the scratch.
She's supposed to use a penny, right?
Yeah, you just do the prize check and check it and she cheats. It's not quite as much fun.
It's like going to bingo and having somebody else fill out the thing for you, you know? That's not right. Versig, we love you. Love to Terry. My thanks to Marcel. Everybody here. Liz is here early.
Thank
Your whole
you
crew
all.
Is here early. Making the,
coming
doing,
out
making
for
the
good
crab
calls.
Cakes. And I'm going to take my wife home one of those and one of these and a special. And
try the tuna stack.
And the tuna stack.
Every Wednesday, do you realize you always post on Facebook? Oh, that looks so good. And I don't get to get that special. I'll come down tomorrow. And now you get to have it tonight.
I'm going to, you just beat, you're marketing for yourself. So now Wednesdays, I usually do yoga on Tuesday and Thursday. Wednesdays night, we have dinner. I'm going to keep my eye out for the next time you have that teriyaki burger over here. So I'll work that out. Ron Cassie is the senior something-something, the executive something writing, and he writes things at Baltimore Magazine. And Versig is Versig. You know, the one, the only.
One
and
we're
sick featured in Baltimore Magazine next month.
That's
for the,
right.
For the dummy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, nice.
Everybody knows I'm the dummy here. All right, it's 5 o'clock. You're listening to WNST, AM 1570, House of Baltimore. I will be back in 16 hours to do this all again. Rest up, kid.